So today, the last in our little series on faith in action. I was reading a story, and that kind of took me into the sermon where we're going today. So the story was about these two miners prospecting, looking for diamonds. And all of a sudden, as they're looking, one of them just shouts out loud, "Yes, yes, yes." And of course, the other guy knew. He must have got something. He got there, and the guy held up not one diamond. He had six huge diamonds in his hands. And they realized, man, we have hit pay dirt. This is amazing. There must be a lot of diamonds, must be a whole ridge full of diamonds. Immediately, they said to each other, this can cause a lot of trouble. If someone finds out, they're going to come right to this place, and they're going to start digging with us, and of course, they'll take the diamonds, and we would like to keep that to ourselves. So they decided they're not going to tell a soul about this, just checking their diamonds. A day or so after this happening, they needed to go into the small mining town to go get some supplies for their little digging site. Again, they reminded each other, be quiet, don't say a word, just nothing. We get our stuff, we get out of Dodge, and we go back to our little place. So they went into town, they got all their supplies they needed, and when they got their stuff ready to move out of town, they kind of realized that they've got to have about 60, 70 other people following them with their mining gear. And they looked at each other, and they stopped, and they looked at the people, and they said, hey, what's wrong? Why are you following us? And the people said, oh, we want to go dig for those diamonds that you guys found. And they said, what do you mean? We didn't say anything about diamonds. And they said, you didn't have to say a word. We could see it in your eyes and in your faces. And it got me thinking. As we call ourselves Christ followers, as we call ourselves a church that walks in faith, because call ourselves people who live by our faith. When people look at us, when the world looks at us, when others look at us, when others look at me, what do they see? Or maybe the better word is, who do they see? Do they see the light of Jesus that shines from me? Do they see that excitement of the Holy Spirit that is in me and lives in me and works through me? Do they see that not just in my hands and feet and my actions, as we've been talking about faith in action, but in my everything, that it just comes through my being that people see Jesus? Against this backdrop, I want to take you to one of the most well-known passages in the Bible, and let's see if we can find something new in there for a moment today. And it comes from Matthew chapter 5. I'm going to read verses 13 to 16, and I'm reading from the NIV. So this is Jesus who's on the mountain. This is the so-called Sermon on the Mount, right? So Jesus says, you are the salt of the earth. But if the salt loses its saltiness, how can it be made salty again? It's no longer good for anything except to be thrown out and trampled underfoot. You are the light of the world. Can I just stop there for a second? Did you hear those two words? You are the salt of the earth. You are the light of the world. Not you might be, you might become, maybe some of you are, maybe some of you aren't. You are the light of the world. You are the salt of the earth. So let me go back to verse 14. You are the light of the world. A town built on a hill cannot be hidden. Neither do people light a lamp and put it under a bowl. Instead, they put it on its stand and it gives light to everyone in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others, that they may see your good deeds and glorify your Father in heaven. You are the salt of the earth, and you are the light of the world. And yes, we know these words so well, and we're thinking, I've known this. Hold on, just don't jump too fast. It's interesting that Jesus uses these two images, right? Salt and light. It was not such an easy commodity as we have today. Salt was really important. salt was really expensive. Salt was not just important because you used that to put flavor in your food and to season your food and your meat. But salt was also a commodity that could be used to buy. It was a means of buying things. You remember, I said this to you way back. I don't know if you remember that we have a saying in our language that says someone is worth their salt. And I told you where that comes from. The Roman soldiers were paid in salt. That's where we get the word salare, salary from, because they were given salare, salt, to pay for. So salt is not just which makes salty and which gives flavor. It is also that which is really worth something. Light, again, for us, we walk into a room, we switch on the light, and light switch, and there goes the light. And we have 100-watt lights, and we have 200-watt lights, and we have 60 watts and 40 watts, and we can dim them. Folks, in those days, they didn't have light switches and light bulbs. When it got dark, it got really dark. If you think if you go out camping and there's not a lot of folks around there, it's dark. And if you turned on that little lamp that worked with the olive oil, it would be an amazing little thing to see that light go on, and it pierces the darkness. So they understood the value of the light and what light did to the darkness that was really, really scary to them. So against this backdrop, let's look at three things that I think we need to see from this passage. When Jesus says, you are the salt of the earth and you are the light of the world, the first thing I want you to notice is that look at the people that Jesus says this to. It's not to super people. It's not to people who walk on a cloud. It's not to people who have proven themselves to look at me. I'm so amazing. It's actually just the normal people that were sitting on that mountain. And I think in this moment, he was specifically looking at 12 of them, which we call disciples. And if you think of the disciples, nothing much to them, right? They were just normal, regular people. People who messed up. People who stumbled, fell. People who denied. People who dreamt and got lost. People who were called the sons of thunder because their fists were always ready to go. People who would later be persecuted and oppressed and even killed. These are the people that he says to you. You are the light of the world and the salt of the earth. And then Jesus looks at me and Jesus looks at each one of us and he says, here's the thing, my friend. The day you started following me, the day you opened your life and you allowed me to come into your life and to become the king of your life, that's the day that I looked at you and I said, actually, you have no choice. You are salt and you are light. And you're saying, but what can I do? I'm just little me. Exactly. You're just little you. He didn't say, you're the whole salt sea. He said, part of that salt. Sometimes we just need a little grain of that saltiness in my work situation. Where maybe I'm one of the few people that is a Christ follower. But the way that I conduct myself in the darkness of the world around, that light of Jesus Christ shines. And like those miners, they might see it in my eyes and see it in my face and start saying, I want to find what this person has found. And who knows what you can do in a person's life. Maybe that's just you being a little salty. And someone says, I want some of that saltiness because my life is so bland because I don't know Christ. And all I grew up with was religion. But I never had relationship with Christ. All I grew up was people telling me I'm horrible and bad and a sinner and I'm lost. And no one has told me like you that Christ loves me despite the fact that I'm all messed up. That's what it means to be salt and light. Because when they look at my old life, that sometimes loses a bit of its saltiness, and yet I try my best, they see a little bit of Christ Jesus in me. myself that I can still share. There's a beautiful song. It was written by a German poet called Rudolf Wimmer. It's called Ihr seid das Salz der Erde, which means you are the salt of the earth. And I just roughly translated this because it's so beautiful, the word. Just listen to this for a second. You are the salt of the earth. Perhaps only one small grain. Yet people can taste that small grain. You are the light of the world. Maybe just a very small spark. And yet, that little spark of flame burns brighter than the fire of hell. You are a city on the mountain. Maybe just one house. But that house, because of the salt and the light, laughs from its window. Du bist das Salz der Erde. You are the salt of the earth. Don't say I'm only just one grain. That's all God needs. Wherever you are, at home, at school, in work, in the streets, He wants that saltiness. That was the first thing. Who Jesus says this to. Not super people, to us. People who stumble, fall. The second thing I need you to see is, for the sake of who did you hear? You, that's who, are the salt of the earth. You are the light of the world. We are salt and light, not for ourselves. We are salt and light for the world. That's who needs to see the light. That's who needs to taste the salt. We cannot be church by being church inwardly, by baking together our little cake right there, and this is us and this is we. God doesn't want that. That needs to go out into the world. Stephen Neal, one of the most amazing missionaries, writes in one of his books, he says, the whole church needs to take the whole gospel to the whole world. Isn't that cool? The whole church needs to take the whole gospel to the whole world. That's who we are. We cannot just be church sitting in pews. And maybe COVID-19 has opened a lot of those doors because all of a sudden this gospel is just going all over the place. And we can shine the light and we can be the salt and we can love and we can open our arms and we can hold. I didn't say it was going to be easy, right? It's hard. And some days it's really difficult. But Jesus said, John 16, I think it's verse 13, if I remember correctly, in this world, you will have it difficult. But take heart, for I have overcome the world. He calls us. Despite all the things that might be hard, sometimes the darkness will try and take that light away. Sometimes the unsaltiness of this world will try and take my saltiness away. Jesus says, that's who you have to do it for. It's the whole church that needs to take the whole gospel to the whole world. I'm going to give you a wonderful example of this. When I was a chaplain in the South African Defense Force, one day after the chaplain's period, I heard chaplain's period means the boys would come and sit and we would talk to them about faith and about how to live their lives and things that were bothering them as soldiers. And I had two of the young boys, they were still doing their basic training. I overheard two of them talking, and the one said to the other one, I have such a struggle. I'm a Christ follower, but in my bungalow, the guys in the evening when I read my Bible and when I go on my knees to pray, they mock me and they laugh at me and they throw their boots at me so that I can't do this. And I don't know what to do about this. I listened to hear what the friend was going to say, and the friend said, I'm a Christ follower too, and they've been doing that to me too. So what I decided to do is I just wait until the lights are out and everyone's asleep, and then I lie on my bed and then I just talk to the Lord and pray and ask Him to be with me. Why don't you try that? It might just be a little easier on you. I decided not to say anything. I waited for for a week or so, and after the chaplain's period again, I actually called this young man up, and I said to the young man, come here. I'm sorry, I didn't eavesdrop, but I overheard your conversation with your friend the other day, and I heard the advice that he gave you. How are you doing? He says, actually, I'm doing really, really well. I said, oh, that's wonderful. So did you take his advice? He says, Padre, I tried that for one evening. He said, but I just couldn't do it because I felt like Peter, as if I was disowning Jesus. And I decided I'm not going to stop doing this. I'm going to continue despite the mockery and despite the boots. I'm going to stay doing this on my knees. I'm going to pray and I'm going to read the Word of God. And these guys can do whatever they want. Not going to stop me. I said, now's that working for you? He says, Padre, right now I have four other guys in my bungalow that have joined me. And we read the Bible together in the evening. And we're praying together. And I think before we're done with our basic training, that whole bungalow is going to be reading the Bibles and praying with us. That's what you call salt and light in the world. Because you see, the world doesn't have enough unsaltiness to take away the saltiness of children of God that live their faith in action. This world does not have enough darkness for those for that one little light that is prepared to say, I am not going to deny my Lord. I will shine my light. There's a little song that the kids sing. This little light of mine, I'm going to let it shine. Let it shine. Let it shine. Let it shine. Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday. Keep the candle burning. Let me end. There's a third thing we need to see. It's for the sake of the world, but actually look at verse 16. It's a little more than that. In the same way, let your light shine before others, that they may see your good deeds, and listen to this, and glorify your Father in heaven. Why are we salt and light? To glorify God. Not that people see me and say, wow, amazing Christ follower. No, wow, amazing God that person serves. So that when they look at me, remember the old saying, Martin Luther, he says, I want to be like the moon. All I want to do is to reflect the light of the sun. That's who we are. Like the moon, we reflect the light of God. And we reflect that in the world. And when people see, they don't see me. They see my Father. They see my Lord Jesus. They see the work of the Holy Spirit. And they glorify my God. So this is our challenge, friends, on this last day of talking about faith in action.